Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Ah, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. No, not Matt Doyle. Yes, all of you listening at home, it is a solo show. Well, sort of. Paul Tenorio of The Athletic will join me in just a little bit. You saw Paul break the news. The big news this week in Major League Soccer, Greg Berhalter is returning to the league. He was named director of soccer and the head coach of the Chicago Fire. He is, as I might say, a soccer czar, one of two in the league following Peter Vermes. It might seem like an outdated role, too much to chew on, but Paul will help us understand what sort of hires Greg needs to make the soccer side of the Fire hum again for the first time in, I would argue, 15 years. At least, what sort of DPs the Fire might pursue? Could they be current U.S. men's national team players of a high profile or perhaps a lesser one? And what happens next? What are the next steps for this club and Greg Berhalter in a new role back in Major League Soccer? Remember, two games this weekend, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, both at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, MLS season pass on Apple TV. Columbus, New England, Carlos Hill. Injured. He will miss the rest of the season per New England, but the crew have plenty to play for in terms of seeding and priority for MLS Cup. Same thing for LAFC, and the Vancouver Whitecaps have even more to play for. They could drop all the way down to the wild card match and stay there. They're currently in eighth, or they could climb as high as fifth. TBD. It all depends on their results. They'll have to get a big one at home against LAFC this weekend. You can watch the previews for both those matches on Season Pass. Matt Doyle and I sat down and walked you through all the big storylines, all the need-to-knows for those. Other news before we get to Paul, remember, October 19th, Saturday, Decision Day. Countdown will start at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have all the stories, all the interviews you need to know, plus all the tactical breakdown. And then the Eastern Conference matches start at 6 p.m., so does MLS 360. Western Conference matches at 9 p.m., and then the wrap-up immediately following those Western Conference matches. Sit on the couch, watch soccer for, 7-8 hours. It will be worth it. It's always the best day of the year in the regular season. Start with Countdown. Go to 360 if you want to get a big-picture vision. Maybe throw it up on your phone. You can watch your team on the TV. What I'm telling you, multiple screens are your friend, and of course, wrap-up will be the way to get you all caught up on what happened. Plus, get you ready for the Audi 2024 MLS Cup playoffs to follow. All right, that's it for me. Now, time for Paul Tenorio and the big news in Chicago. It's time for a very special guest, the king of reports, Paul Tenorio. Shout out to Sam Stachko, who I still miss and love, and I miss allocation disorder like no other podcast I've ever missed. Paul, what's up, man? How you doing on this wonderful morning?
I'm all right. You know, I sometimes I miss allocation disorder too. Sometimes I really don't, you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, my life is so much easier, you know, but I mostly just miss talking to Sam. MLS hot takes with Sam Stachko. Nothing much better than that.
I can identify with that as well. Let's start with the obvious topic for you. You're in the Windy City. Greg Berhalter is the new soccer czar for the Chicago Fire. That's my nomenclature. It's just what I like. It means he's the CSO and the manager. This is a team that's been through, just abject failure for 15 years. Seven straight years without the playoffs. They've got to the playoffs two times since 2009. That's 15 seasons. Two seasons of positive goal differential in that time, a negative 119 goal differential. Over 15 years, it's been dire, and yet I'm hopeful. This is the hire I thought the Fire should make. It's the job I thought that Greg Berhalter could succeed in because Joe Mansueto will spend, and there seems to be a foundation there. Tell me your impressions of this hire. Why did it make sense for both sides? Why did this marriage happen?
Well, first of all, those stats on the Fire are just incredible. I mean, they're incredible, they'd be incredible in any league, but for a league that is set up for competitive balance and to make it so that every team has a chance to be a winner, every chance to be a playoff team every season, to go that long and be that bad that often is just impressive, frankly. It's impressive. I think that in some ways, I think this is the perfect marriage. In other ways, I think there are obviously some red flags that are going to be worth watching. Look, for Greg Berhalter, I think it was a no-brainer here. It, you know, he stays in Chicago where he lives and has lived since he took over as the U.S. men's national team manager back in 2019. Obviously, living in a market, you get to understand the market dynamics a little bit. You've been around the team. This is a club that has ambition, an owner that has ambition, and also an owner that has clearly shown patience and a willingness to kind of be loyal and believe in a vision. I think Fire fans would argue that he's been too loyal and that his willingness to kind of trust George Heights to see through kind of the building process that he saw for the Fire, you know, should have that experiment should have ended a couple years ago. But I think it speaks to kind of how Joe Mansueto thinks about building something that is lasting. He doesn't want to make a lot of changes and go up and down. And as a soccer coach, that's exactly the type of owner you want to work for, right? When you're trying to put together a team and reverse that type of losing record, it's not going to happen in 1 year or 2 years. I mean, it might happen in the sense of you make a playoffs once, but if you want to turn it around into kind of becoming a consistent winner, that's going to take time. So you have the right owner to do it. You have full control to build it to your vision. For Berhalter, it's a no-brainer. For the Fire, I think it's a little bit more interesting. If we want to talk about MLS, even since Greg Berhalter last worked in the league in 2018, it's a much different league than what Berhalter left. It's more complicated. There's more to do. There's a whole bucket of players that didn't exist in 2018 that exists now. You have DPs. You have U22s, all of which cost a lot of money. You've got second teams with MLS Next Pro that didn't exist. Obviously, the academies have continued to grow. For that reason, because there's so much to manage, it's gotten too big for one person to do both jobs. And you know, Peter Vermees was the last holdout. You know, Bruce Arena was kind of the counterweight before his time in New England was up. That, you know, obviously he was successful there. But I think most teams have moved away from this model for a reason. That being said, I think it's easy to see why Chicago made this decision. And it starts with how this segment started, Andrew. 15 years of failures, 15 years of irrelevance, of losing the market, of not being a part of really even kind of the MLS storylines outside of 2017, which was a really fun team to watch for, you know, three quarters of a season. And when you go through something like that, I think you have to look to, is there somebody who can right this ship? Is there somebody who can fix the processes we have in place to fix the organization on the sporting side? And there's a lot to like about Greg Berhalter. If you sit with him and you listen to his vision for how you put an organization together, how you build out sporting operations, as somebody who's covered him day in and day out for the last 5 years with the national team and several years before that, I understand why Greg Berhalter was appealing. He, I believe, lifts the floor of this franchise substantially. And at a certain point, you're probably going to have to ask, do we need somebody doing each job full-time respectively in order to challenge to win MLS Cup? But right now, Chicago Fire can't be really thinking about MLS Cup yet. They've got to think about fixing everything else first.
We'll get to everything else. Just as an add on that, when I was thinking about this job, and it is jobs, to your point, it's not just one job, it's CSO and manager. My brain said there's probably not a better CSO candidate that the Fire can attract than Greg Berhalter. And there's probably not a better manager candidate that the Fire can reasonably attract and trust than Greg Berhalter. And then that's where the math gets fuzzy, because you're asking Greg to do something that nobody does anymore. And so then my brain says, okay, well, who is Greg going to hire? What is his outlook? Because he has to bring in a veritable army of support, and not just support, but people willing to challenge him, people willing to have a different opinion, people that can make this a healthy, productive sporting environment that doesn't just go through the whims
of Greg Berhalter. And I think Greg knows that. So how does he approach this aspect? Because the first thing is you have to get that army around you to then execute on the plans that you have. Who is that army? What does it look like? How does Chicago Fire structure this sporting side that is, I mean, with Heights gone and Peltzer gone, I mean, it's kind of like ashes to the ground, and now we rebuild the whole thing back up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important move that's going to happen in the next few weeks, you'd imagine, is who does Greg Berhalter hire to be his deputy, to be the person in charge of building, especially and significantly, the first team. I think that that part of the job is the most visible and, in my mind, the most crucial. Yes, you want to have a second team that can contribute players to the first team. Yes, of course, you want an academy that produces homegrown players. Some of that is, you know, the Fire have an academy director, right? They have somebody who's putting together the second team already. That has to be a little bit on the back burner. And I think if you're Greg Berhalter, you're right. You need somebody that is going to push you, that is going to disagree with you. That debate is what makes decisions better, right? I remember talking to Peter Vermees about it when I went and did a story on him about some of the arguments that he and Brian Bliss and Megan Cameron and the whole staff would get in back when I did that story. I remember talking to Garth Lagerwey about it when he was in Seattle, about how he wanted Chris Henderson and Brian Schmetzer and every single person, Robbie, everyone in the front office to sign off on a DP before they signed a DP. And that was really hard to get everyone to agree. And that's part of the reason why they hit on so many designated players, because they had to push each other to get to the right decision. So you need somebody who can be that guy for you, who can make that the focus. And I think also in an ideal world, you find somebody who has been working in MLS recently, who has experience signing big money designated players, has experience signing U22 players, because frankly, also for Greg Berhalter, this is going to be a different experience, right? You're working under an owner that a different budget than what you had when you were working in Columbus. Chicago has shown, and Joe Mansueto has shown, a willingness and an ambition to go and spend real money on those spots. So can you find somebody that has experience scouting and looking for players on real money in those spots? It's the most important part of this equation.
Paul, there's not that many of those guys.
That's true. It's like a small bucket.
If you look around the league, and if you want MLS experience there, there's not that many. I mean, like, and who don't already have the job. Because, again, Greg Berhalter's a CSO. That's the job that you're getting.
I agree with you. There's not that many, but they do exist.
They do.
I think that a part of this ambition for the Fire has to be a willingness to go out and say, I'm going to get my guy. I'm going to go get, this is a signing, right? This is the same type of ambition as signing a designated player. You have to think of it that way, because this person is going to have a massive impact on the product you put on the field. So are you going to have to maybe call a team and ask permission? Yes. Are you going to have to probably compensate this individual at a competitive level? Yes, of course. Like all these different, but like this is a really critical hire. And I do think that there are people in MLS who fit this description and who I think would be, you know, the right hire. Like there is a right hire out there. They have to go get it done. And I want to say too, like I think that Greg Berhalter's experience and his success in building rosters in MLS, it's not like it's irrelevant, right? Like you look at those Columbus teams and the domestic players that he signed, and some of whom he got to perform to higher levels. I think especially signing Jossy Zardes and making him a 20 plus goal scorer as a number nine after losing Ola Kamara. But you look at Michael Parkhurst and Will Trapp and Ethan Finley and Justin Merrim and go through the list of those players. And then you look at some of the kind of what would be TAM players now that he signed that I think are critical to success in MLS, guys like Milton Valenzuela and Artur, who he brought in on free loans that converted to, you know, million-dollar transfers. Like the ability to find those players is still relevant in MLS, but you need somebody to help you with that, because you got to be coaching the team too and fixing. You're not going to be able to do everything this offseason. You can probably do half of what you need to do in January. there's going to be a lot of coaching that's necessary for the Fire in 2025.
We've speculated on this show, Chris Henderson to Atlanta United. I mean, maybe you start, if you haven't been calling him already, you start throwing dollars around and saying, this is what we can do for you, Chris. I mean, Ricardo Moreira in Orlando would be another name I would throw out there. I know Asher Mendelson in Houston has a long history with Berhalter at the Crew. That's just sort of a start. That's just three names off the top of my head. We'll see where this all goes. What's the state of the Fire off the field? This is just me being curious, Paul. Like, because, you know, on the field is one thing. You've got to correct that, but there's two sides to an organization. And if you're trying to attract fans, both sides matter.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Fire will tell you they've sold more tickets than they have in a long time. And they've put people in seats. I think the Fire are probably the prime example of the best way to leverage the Messi effect into something more lasting than one game. You know, what they did with the Messi game last year when Messi didn't play, the offers that they put to fans to purchase season tickets at a discount and all of that, that kind of activation worked. And they brought in more fans for this year. Ultimately, though, if you want to have relevance in a market like Chicago, there's a few things that need to happen. And unfortunately for the Fire, their move back to Soldier Field, that moment got lost, right? It got lost because of COVID. They had sold out that stadium, essentially, or close to selling that stadium out. That was going to be their reintroduction to the market. COVID happened. That game never happened, and they lost that reintroduction. So it comes down to one thing. You got to win. This market is filled with soccer fans. Like, I've lived here since 2016. I went to college here. I'm intimately familiar with the soccer culture here. They want to come watch the Fire, but they want to come watch a good, fun soccer team. You know, like, I went to a Real Madrid AC Milan friendly this summer. You know, I've been out and seen different Premier League teams come and play here. I've been to Gold Cup games here. The stadium gets packed. They want to watch good soccer. The Fire haven't really put a good soccer team on the field in a long time. Even in 2017, I was the sideline reporter for that Fire team. When Schweinsteiger arrived, there was the initial pop of people that came just to watch Schweinsteiger. But then they saw David Akam. And Nemanja Nikolic was the Golden Boot winner. And that team was playing good soccer. I mean, actually attractive soccer. And the stadium stayed full. And unfortunately, obviously, they lost 4-0 to the Red Bulls in the playoffs. And then the next year, they just completely squandered any momentum they had built. They didn't fix the things that they needed to fix on the roster. They got worse. And they lost that. But like, when they were playing good soccer, the fans came. So when it comes to off the field and reputation, the relevance that you want in these big markets, for if you're MLS, it's not there in Chicago, but the potential is still there. Just put a good team on the field and you're going to see it.
How do you put that team on the field? Well, let's take a look. We got the roster profile. I went through it the other day. You have five expiring contracts in 2024. Just because contracts aren't expiring doesn't mean you can't make moves. Greg Berhalter's job is to perform life-saving surgery, let's say, roster.
If I'm Berhalter and I'm looking at this team, I think there are a few, you know, tougher conversations that you have. You have something you don't need to have, right? Shaqiri's gone. You know, Chihos is coming out of contract. All the guys who are out of contract, you're moving on from. But I probably am sitting down with Salquist. I'm probably sitting down with Suke. I might be sitting down with Jimenez and saying, listen, like, this is what we see for our team. And can we find a good move for you? That's probably what I'm saying. Not just because they open up a tremendous amount of cap space if you do that, but I think you have to start moving this team forward into a new vision of how you want to play soccer. So, you know, keeping that in mind, that it's not just the contracts you're out. You have to do that. Like, that's a big part of this job for Greg Berhalter in January, is moving some of the pieces that have to actually be moved, transfer fees and mutual terminations, that type of thing. It's not easy. Once you do that, I think the idea needs to be similar to what we saw with the Galaxy. I think the Galaxy are a pretty good example to follow here. From what they were last year to what they are this year, it's pretty stark. And it started with two DP spots, which the Fire will have. And with those two DP spots, they went and spent some serious money on two players who could change games. Players who could create opportunities for others, players who could create goals for themselves, could take players on one-on-one, could stretch the field, made them fun to watch. They're a fun team to watch. That's what I think the Fire need to be aiming for. And I will say, like, I really enjoyed watching the Columbus Crew teams of 2017 and 2018. They played really pretty soccer. I don't know that Greg Berhalter is going to play that same way. Like, I don't know that we'll see the 4-2-3-1, you know, ball rotation type teams that we saw in Columbus. Like, maybe it'll look more like the 4-3-3 of the USMNT. Maybe he'll pull something that he's been watching, you know, in Europe recently. But I think the for me, the job he has is that you can't just put maybe the best way to put it is taking the tactic that like Nashville took when they came into the league in expansion of like, look, we're going to build a really solid team that gets results and makes the playoffs and build from there. Like, I think in a market like Chicago, where you don't have the pop of being the new fun thing for people to come see, you got to do it with what you put on the field. So try to be fun, try to be entertaining, play attacking soccer. That's what Berhalter has to build. But it starts with moving a few pieces out, opening up a little bit more cap space, and then crucially, hitting on the two designated players. And those two DPs, I'm going to disagree with something that Doyle put out there in his story. It can't be a Weston McKennie type. They have to be attacking players that change games week to week. And I like I believe that with every inch of my being. Like, you need Peck, Paintsill, Akam. You need Almiron. You need Joseph Martinez. You need fun, attacking, productive players with those two DP spots.
How much commitment is there from Joe Mansueto? Like, is money a object here in any way?
Look at his history.
It's just who you want, basically. If we can get him. Yeah,
I don't want to spend.
I'm not trying to spend the money.
I
would like him to spend it on his own, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think he has shown a commitment to spend what is necessary to go and get good players. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Kuipers last year, right? A lot of money, and they spent a lot of money to get out of Bridgeview, and they spent a lot of money on, you know, the three DPs that they brought in that first year in 2020, and they spent money on U22 players. I mean, every year they're just shelling out the cash. So I have every belief. There's no reason not to believe that Joe Mansueto is not sitting there saying, listen, if you bring a player and you tell me this is what it takes to get it done, and you believe this player is somebody who's going to change the game for us here in Chicago, I'm going to do it. And frankly, like, you know, I keep talking about this idea of playing entertaining and attacking and winning soccer. There's been so many times that you look at things and you're like, how can the Fire reintroduce themselves to the market? How can they get more popular? At this point, it's like, it's very simple. You need to win. You need to play, you know, attractive soccer, and you need to go get some difference makers. And like, you look at the players that were signed under the last regime, and I always felt like they were lacking that exciting attacking player. Like, the forwards they signed were all kind of the same profile, you know, Berich and Shabilko and Kuipers. The wingers have never really been out and out chance creation wingers who can score goals. They've never had that. Number 10 was Shaqiri, who I think, you know, was probably pretty close to split 50-50 on people who thought Shaqiri was going to be good in MLS and people who were concerned about him. But you look at Shaqiri's numbers going into the league, he never really was the main goal scorer, and he clearly never lived up to what he was supposed to be in Chicago. Like, they need the profile of the league now. Look at the players who are successful. Like, go look and say, okay, I want strikers that fit a little bit more of the profile of Rui Diaz, Joseph Martinez, Cucho. Like, there's a little bit of a formula out there. And I think obviously the number 9 is taken here in Chicago for the next couple of years. But you can go and you can look at Paintsill and you can look at Peck and you can understand kind of this is what works. And these are the types of players who can get people to stand up in the stadium and enjoy watching the team. And I think it's not cheap. It's not cheap, but you can go get them.
I'm going to end you on this one for the Fire and then ask you a couple other questions. And it's a question I'm sure many people are sort of mulling as they saw this news come out, because Greg Berhalter is now sort of connected forever with the USMNT, and you toss the Weston one out. How many connections do you think will harken back to that time? Will we see the band in terms of assistant coaches like a Nico Estevez or a Luchi Gonzalez or now a Josh Wolf be a part of this staff? Will we see players ahead of 2026 signing with the Chicago Fire, who perhaps could be that type of player in MLS, or perhaps not in DP spot, depending on where they are. I mean, Aaron Long's a free agent, for instance. How many connections do you see coming together for Greg Berhalter?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to hope that you use some of those connections. Like, I don't know. It's a good question about the staff. I've thought the same thing. Like, how much will Greg Berhalter want it to be the guys that he knows and has worked with and has had success with, or, you know, that know how he works and know how he wants to play, and how much does he want to differentiate his start at the Fire from his national team tenure? I don't really know. I think, you know, talking to Greg Berhalter will be the only way to find out kind of how he thinks about that. But player wise, like, yeah, like I don't know if it'll be as much about chasing DP USMNT guys, but I think certainly, you know, you look at free agency coming up in the coming months, like Aaron Long, Jackson Yule, two guys that Berhalter had in his program with the national team and is familiar with, you know, are there guys who are maybe a little bit lower profile playing abroad or playing here at home that he uses those connections? I think you have to, and you want that out of him. So yeah, I would imagine that there are going to be a couple reunions. You know, again, we talked about how much they have to do. Well, okay, if you think you need one or two starting center backs, it makes it a lot easier if you can get Aaron Long in free agency, right? You know what you're going to get out of him. And that's really important when you're doing as much of a roster turnover as I think the Fire are going to have to do in the next 2 years. You need some guys where you know exactly what you're going to get. And, you know, already, obviously, Berhalter is going to have another national team member that he's working with in Kellen Acosta, right? Like, who's already in Chicago. What more can you get out of him? So, yeah, I expect there to be some reunions. I don't know if it'll be at the DP level, but I would expect to see at least one or two, you know, over the next four windows as this roster gets turned over.
All right, we're in the early stages. Greg Berhalter announced as the new head coach and CSO of the Chicago Fire. A lot of work to do. A lot of news to come for this Fire organization. Let me workshop a take with you. I feel pretty confident in it. Okay. Inter Miami, if they don't win MLS Cup, 2024 is a disappointment no matter what happens on decision day in regards to the points record, no matter what happens, and obviously they've already won the Shield. To me, Paul, if they don't win MLS Cup this year, nobody's going to look at this season and say that was a success.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I think if you talk to pretty much anyone in the Miami locker room and around the Miami organization, they'd say the same thing. They're in it to win the trophies. That's how you get judged. And yeah, they won a Shield and they've won a League's Cup, but MLS Cup is the trophy in this country and for this league, right? Like, ultimately, that's, you want to put a star above the crest. And I think that Miami sees it that way. I'm pretty darn sure Messi sees it that way. And, you know, they've shoved all in on this year. You know, they've shoved all in, and who knows what's going to happen next year? Who's going to be back? Who's not going to be back? Who's being sold? Who's being moved? We know they're going to have to move some pieces, obviously, just because of the way the roster looks and the season-long injuries that are going to be coming back. So, yeah, I think for sure that's true. And obviously, like, I go back to All-Star last year, talking to Jorge Mas outside of the Board of Governors meeting, and I asked him, like, what constitutes success in MLS? Like, do you need to win X, Y, and Z? And he was like, we've already won. Like, Messi's here. We've won. And he's right. Like, and there are victories that have already been attained just by the fact that Messi's here, and it's the highest selling jersey in the world for Adidas, and all the commercial successes that have happened, and they've won two trophies now. But, like, ultimately, yeah, you needed the MLS Cup.
Yeah, sporting success has, as you said, I mean, that's the trophy. That's the one. And I think back to the David Beckham days when Beckham hadn't gotten the job done and the Galaxy lost in a final to RSL. And I remember the moment I was in the stadium when the Galaxy finally did it and Beckham drops to his knees. And to me, that was sort of an iconic MLS moment of like, ah, this was the promised land. This was why you did it. All the commercial stuff, all the other stuff, that's ancillary. But ultimately, for these guys, these elite players, elite clubs, sporting success comes first. So who's your MVP? Another one, the Messi topic. Do you agree with Sasha Kleshin that serious people would never vote for Lionel Messi? Are you a serious person, Paul?
Well, I think Sasha nailed it because, like, everyone knows I'm not a serious person. So
Didn't know that's where you're going to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I get it. I get that, like, there are people who, you know, like you guys who do a lot of work and watch a lot of games and know everything about the league and feel like, okay, like Cucho is the MVP or these are why these candidates make more sense than Messi. I disagree with Sasha's take that, I think he pointed out the stats that like Miami was 0.01 points per game better without Messi this season than with him. Like, I think ultimately the impact that Messi's had on Inter Miami from the moment he arrived to right now is inarguable. I would say 2/3 of the roster that's in Miami exists because Messi's here. His impact when he's on the field is clear. I think, when you look at when he's playing his best, how much more dangerous they are, I think we're going to see it in the playoffs. And I think we saw it in Leagues Cup. We saw it, when they had a trophy on the line in Columbus. Who was it that said to grab that game by the throat and said, I'm winning this trophy? It was Messi. So, yeah, I mean, yes, he's played fewer games than I think anyone would have hoped, but I still look at him as the most valuable player in the league. And everyone on this podcast can hate me for it. Everyone on, in the MLS universe can hate me for it. Sasha can call me or text me later and tell me I am not a serious person. I welcome it, but I'm still voting for Messi.
I understand. I completely get it. I'll end you on this one because we had more breaking news. Jurgen Klopp to Red Bull. What could it mean for the New York Red Bulls? I've spent most of this season screaming from the mountaintop that a team in New York, a team with international and financial resources and sporting resources of the Red Bull organization, should show a lot more ambition for this team to be more than just ho-hum playoff team, but destined to be booted. Can Jurgen Klopp have an effect on the New York Red Bulls? Not Leipzig, not Salzburg, the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, of course he can. Of course he can. But I think it's also like, let's be honest, like what does ambition mean in MLS right now? Like, I think, I understand why in the current structure, teams and owners look at things and say, well, what's the point a little bit of spending X amount more for a celebrity player or whatever if we don't think it's going to necessarily A, drive commercial value, and B, drive competitive value. If we can spend less and still make the playoffs and have a shot at winning by just being in the playoffs, which the Red Bulls have been in every single year.
They don't have a shot. They don't have
a shot. But like, what are you, when and how do you ask these owners to spend more? Would I like to see all of the owners in MLS spend more? Yes. Do I think that there's a way to get them to do that? Yes. Has that happened yet? No. I hope that when you see comments from Oliver Mintzlaff talking about the lack of how it hasn't happened as fast as he would have liked in the US, and you see somebody like Jurgen Klopp coming in, that yes, that Red Bull says, listen, we are going to be a louder voice now. We are going to push to drive change through what we say and through how we spend.
Yes. And a driver, not a passenger, is the way I
correct.
Would put it.
Like, can you join Jorge Mas in Miami? Can you join, like, I'll credit AEG. They went out and spent real money. LAFC has spent, put Toronto, they didn't get it right.
Even Columbus spent. In a smaller market sense.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I hope that these bigger profiles and people say, look, now is the time, because now is the time. The window is here. You got Messi and the eyeballs he brings. You've got the World Cup coming in 2026. You got to do it now because this is the chance. So I hope that Klopp comes in and says, I want Red Bull New York to be an important brand in American soccer and where it's going. I think that would make a lot of sense. And I certainly think he's one of the biggest profiles in global football, right? Like, there's, when he talks, people listen. And and I think he'll have a chance to make an impact for sure.
I hope he says, I want the New York Red Bulls to be a champion. That's what I hope he says. That's what they do for Leipzig. That's what they do for Salzburg. We'll see what happens with the New York Rebels. Last question. How's the book going, my guy? When can I pre-order?
Yeah, no, it's going well. Look, I try to limit sometimes what I say, but like, one of the things I'm working on right now, it's just like so clear to me how much Messi still wants to win, how much he's still driven to win and get results, and how that kind of has impacted everything around him in Miami. And then, the idea of the book is you take that example and you build out from there of the impact and how the sport is changing. And I think you know, that mentality, that idea of like, this is what it takes to be the best. You know, that's the question of where is American soccer going? How are all these different organizations thinking about capitalizing on this market, changing this market, growing this market to be what everyone thinks it can be? And, you know, it certainly has filtered out commercially from Messi here in MLS. And the hope is that the impact becomes a little bit more wide reaching and lasting. That's the key. How do you make it last? Because his days on the field are numbered. We know that. He knows that. What happens next? And that's a little bit of what I'm trying to answer.
Oh, anticipation, man. Anticipation. I cannot wait to read the book when it comes out and to buy you a few beers on the back end to hear about some of the process and also just let you vent, because I know this process is it's a lot of work, Paul, but we appreciate you, man. Thank you for all your thoughts on the Chicago Fire and your expertise there. And I'll be sharing your take with Sasha. So if you get a text at a random hour on West Coast time, you just know that's my doing.
Perfect. I welcome it. I am not a serious person. Remember that.
And that's a good way to end this interview. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Weeby.